الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in the masjid and listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Today, inshallah, we'll begin Surah Al-Fajr. Surah Al-Fajr is a chapter that was revealed in the early period of Islam. It was the 10th chapter to be fully revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it consists of 30 verses. Just like many of the other chapters that were revealed in the early period of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses His own signs to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only sole creator and the one worthy of worship, and an invitation to Islam whilst warning of the repercussions of not following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like this, in Surah Al-Fajr, first of all, Surah Al-Fajr is connected with the surah before it that we have not covered yet, Surah Al-Ghashiyah. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some scenes from the Day of Qiyamah, some very scary scenes from the Day of Qiyamah. And in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends out a warning that for those who don't comply with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those who do not do this, they will suffer on the day of Qiyamah and they will suffer in Jahannam. Generally, the surah has come to emphasize one verse, which is the primary verse in this entire surah, and the emphasis of this surah is around this verse. And the verse in this surah is Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad, that verily your Lord is ever observant and ever watching. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, the message is that Allah is watching us. And the rest of the teachings are now, because Allah is watching us, what do we have to do to ensure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with us and we succeed in this life? Moving on, the surah has generally contains three themes. The first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples of three examples where a nation did not believe in their Nabi and in the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was subsequently punished. Not only in the akhirah will they be punished, but Allah gives the example of three nations that were punished in this world to begin with, and then in the Akhirah, most definitely they will be punished. The second message is, as we have just mentioned, that if we do not comply with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will have to, then Allah is watching us, and then this leads us to the third message of the surah, and that is that whatever we are doing in this world, most definitely there are repercussions. So if we behave and we do good deeds and we comply with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be rewarded for this. And if we disobey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then most definitely there will be a punishment for this. And inshallah, towards the end of the surah, we will have a chance to speak about the three types of nafs, souls, that are mentioned in the Holy Quran. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do this. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So to begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on five things. Just like in previous surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken many different oaths. We had wadduha, wal layli idha saja, wal layli idha yaghsha, wal nahari idha tajalla, wal shamsi wadduhaha, wal qamari idha tala, many men la uqsimu bihadha al balad. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on five different things in this surah for a purpose. And the purpose is to draw our attention to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once our attention is drawn to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then naturally it would be up to an intelligent person to then accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. He has created me. He is the one God. I should obey him. Otherwise, you know, the repercussions are going to be severe for not doing this. So the first oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal fajr, fajr, and by the dawn. Fajr refers to the dawn, the morning, the daybreak. According to Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the dawn over here doesn't refer to anything specific. It refers to generally when dawn takes place. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath upon the dawn is to show that the dawn, when the day comes, it brings such a great effect and change to the world. If all night the entire world was dark, if it wasn't for the street lamps and electricity that we have, we would not be able to see anything. The whole world is dark. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His might and through His power, He has changed everything just within just a few moments. The entire world is now light. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing our attention to His own greatness and His own power. Others have said that no, actually, wal-fajr refers to a specific dawn. From this one narration from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that it refers to the dawn of the first of Muharram, which basically all brings to us the new Islamic year. Another narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and other mufassireen, they have said that the dawn refers to the morning of the day of Eid. Yani Yawm al-Nahr, the day of, I mean, say Yawm al-Eid al-Adha, the day of Eid al-Adha. And why Eid al-Adha? The reason why is because generally, if we look at the Islamic calendar, all the blessed days, they are preceded by a blessed night. So, for example, we have the 27th night of Ramadan, or Laylatul Qadr, or Yawm Nisf bin Sha'ban, 15th of Sha'ban. So first the night comes where we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that is the blessed day where we fast. Like we have Laylatul Ja'iza, the night of Eid. So the night comes first where we supposed to worship Allah, and then the blessed day of Eid comes like this. So all of the blessed days in the year, they are preceded by a blessed night. However, the day of Eid al-Adha, the night before it belongs to Yawmul Arafah, the day of Arafah, the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. And it's not connected with Yawmul Nahr. It's not connected with the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. Hazrat Mufti Azam, Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes that it is also for this reason that if a haji, he goes for hajj. And for some reason, he was not able to make it to Arafat. He became ill, or there was some emergency, and something happened, transport broke down, whatever. May Allah protect us. He wasn't able to make it on time. If he was to reach the plain of Arafat before the time of Fajr on the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, his Hajj will count. Because wukufi Arafah is one of the conditions for the validity of Hajj. It's one of the farz of Hajj. And if a person doesn't go to the plain of Arafat on this prescribed time, his Hajj will not count at all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Because without Arafah, your Hajj will not come. Okay? So, according to some, Shah Waliullah Muhaddithi Dahlawi Rahimullah has also agreed with this and has written this. Also, one other tafsir is that, and this is an amazing one, that this could be an indication towards the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? The night, the world is dark. The world is dark. There's darkness in the world. The day comes and illuminates the whole world. Now we can see everything. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world, the world was dark with ignorance. The world was dark with oppression. The world was dark with tragedies. And without knowledge, there is darkness of ignorance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and illuminated the whole world with his guidance, with his knowledge, with the winds of hidayah. So according to some mufassirin, this is an indication towards prophethood. The next oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, and by the 10 nights. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, by the 10 nights. Hadith Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah says, along with a whole group of very senior mufassirin from the Sahaba and Tabi'een, they say that this oath refers to the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and based on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the most preferred opinion. One of the strongest ahadith that comes in this, narrated by Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma an an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala mal 'amalu fi ayyam al-'ashr afdhal min al-'amal fi hadhihi, that there is no action greater than the actions that take place during the days of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, meaning that these are the most virtuous from which to do a'mal. The Sahaba said, "Well, al-jihad." He said, "What about going out in the path of Allah?" The Prophet said, "Even going out in the path of Allah for jihad, this is not greater than that." In another hadith, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that siyamu yawmin minha ya'dilu siyama sana, that fasting on one day of the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is equal to fasting 1 year. So if we was to fast for all 9 days, then this would equal to 9 years of fasting. And standing on one of these nights equals to standing on the night of Laylatul Qadr. And as we know, the night of Laylatul Qadr has the virtue of standing for 84 more than 1,000 months, which is equals to around 83 years. Yeah, so standing in Qiyam for one night of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah will equal to Laylatul Qadr. So imagine a person who stands for the full 10 nights. Also, when our respected Ustad, late Ustad Shaykh Maisum Mutala Rahimahullah, when he was alive, he used to sometimes invite people to Darul Uloom during these nights that come and, you know, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to you know, instead of spending the days, you know, texting our family members who are in Hajj and, oh, how is it there? How hot is it there? How many people are there? This is what generally happens. The moment we hit 6th, 7th night, what happens? Eid day. Yeah, time to celebrate Eid, shopping, worldly range. No. We should not do this. We should get all of this done before the days of Dhul-Hijjah. Just like the Eid of Ramadan, we should get all our shopping done before and reserve Ramadan for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same with the Eid al-Adha, we should get all our shopping done before and reserve these 10 days of the Dhul-Hijjah for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And finally, Shah Wali Allah Muhaddith al-Dahlawi rahimullah writes that this, the Walayal in Ashri, refers to the last 10 days of the night of Ramadan. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Next we have washaf'i wal watr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse takes oath on two things. Washaf'i wal watr, by the even and by the odd. So the odd and the even and the odd. Shaf refers to even and odd refers to watr, refers to odd. That's why we have the witr salah. It's three rakats. That's why it's called witr. One opinion with regards to this, that what does he mean by odd and even? So some mufassirin say that it refers to the 9th and 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is Imam Ahmad rahimullah has brought a hadith with regards to this. As we've already mentioned today, the 9th and 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, Yawm al-Arafah and Yawm al-Nahr, they are two very, very blessed days. In another hadith it says that وَالشَّفْءِ وَالْوَتْرِ is regarding salah. Why? Because in salah we have some rakat, some namazes which have even number of rakats, like Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, and then we have some namazes which have an odd number of rakats, like Witr and Maghrib. So this is referring to salah. However, it seems more possible that the first opinion, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is taking oaths on things related to time. And so it seems that salah goes against this theme. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And it's possible that both are included. However, there's one last opinion, is quite interesting one. Some of Mufassirin have said that washaf'i wal wat, shaf' relates to the creation. And the Mufassirin write that Allah subhanahu wa min kulli shay'in khalaqna zawjain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, we have created everything in pairs. Men and women, night and day, the earth and the sky, animals all come in pairs, everything's in pairs. Yeah? And there's only one thing that is not in pair, it's only one. Who's that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to himself as the creator, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the creation as washaf'i wal watr. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ, and by the night when it passes. This yasr, the word yasr is taken from the word sara yasri, which means to go. So it could refer to the end of the night when the night goes away, and it can also refer to the spreading of the darkness of the night, which relates to the beginning of the night. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Under this verse, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimullah, that's a very interesting point, a very interesting point. Hazrat says that there is a message in this. The message in this is that like we just mentioned, Allah created everything in opposites. Day and night, sky, earth, good, bad, etc. And so the message is that generally in life, you can categorize our time in life in two. If you want. Sometimes we're going through good times, and sometimes we're going through bad times. So, Hazrat writes that the message is that whatever situation we are in life, we shouldn't think that we're going to stay in this situation forever. Okay? So, if we are in a good time in life, everything's good, you know, the money's coming in, everyone's happy at home, I've not got any illnesses, but, you know, I'm enjoying work, I'm enjoying my life, I'm enjoying my family, wife, kids, everything's good. I can't complain. Don't think that this is going to stay good forever. is going to change. Sooner or later, a challenge will come, a problem will come, and you'll have to deal with it. And if you are in a difficulty in life, you're going through a bad time. You know, your health is bad. You know, you're struggling, financial issues. You've got this issue, you've got that issue. Don't think that this is going to last forever. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا With difficulties come ease. With difficulty come ease. This is the life of the dunya. Difficult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will afflict us with difficulties. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put difficulties upon us? So that we turn to Him and we ask Him for help. And then after that, Allah will give us, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا Allah will give us ease. So first of all, we should, what's the test? The test is that, is my servant going to be grateful? Is my servant going to be grateful or is he going to be arrogant? That, you know, when you're in a good time in life, you can become arrogant. So there's, life is a test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives difficulty and ease, in and out. This will continue till death. And there's a test of sabr and shukr. Sabr in hard times, shukr in the good times. And this is how we are supposed to navigate our life. This is how we are supposed to behave as a mu'min. Understand that usr and yusr. Usr is difficulty, yusr is ease. Yusr upon yusr. So ease upon ease. Consistent ease will only happen in Jannah. And usr. Ba'd al-usr, difficulty after difficulty, consistent and continuous difficulty is only going to happen in Jahannam. In life we have both. And if we navigate these two situations successfully with sabr and shukr the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to navigate this, then Allah will bless us with yusr, continuous ila abad al-abad till forever, infinity. And if we do not do this correctly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will doom us with Jahannam. And this will be forever, it'll be difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do good and to navigate life the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to navigate life. And finally, I'll finish on the last verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي هِجْرٍ Is there not in this an oath for لِذِي حِجْر for an intelligent person. Hijr, the word hijr means to stop, to prevent. Intelligent person, the reason why the hijr has been translated as an intelligent person is an intelligent person when he is going to fall into something that's going to harm him, then what does he do? He stops himself. Yeah? Agar nuksan ki cheez ho to hushyar aadmi apne aap ko rok leta hai. Yeah? Why? Because he doesn't want to harm himself. So that's why in Arabic, the hijr is related to the person who can stop himself. Yani the person is intelligent. He knows that I need to stop myself, otherwise I'm going to harm myself. And this is what happens when a person is faced with committing sin. He stops. Why? He knows that it's going to be harmful for his dunya and for his akhirah. And he knows that if I commit this sin, I'm going to be questioned, I'm going to be punished for this on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now bringing our attention that look, I've taken all these qasams. Is an intelligent person not going to come and understand what I am trying to say? Is an intelligent person not going to come and understand and behave the way one is supposed to behave? Then finally later on in the surah, what will happen is straight after these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to three nations who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first the message is that look, this is my greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is my greatness. Now you should look at my greatness and you should obey me, you should believe in me. If you don't do this, then Allah brings an example of Ad, Allah brings an example of Thamud, Allah brings an example of Fir'aun. After this, later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to the people who did not do good. لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will describe some halat, some ahwal of the day of Qiyamah for a bad person. And then right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the abode for a good person. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with him. Inshallah, we'll continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Fajr in the next session, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said, what has been heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting and our discussions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the lovers of the Holy Quran and the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the lovers of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from his close servants and give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to love and to read and to act and in compliance with the teachings of the Holy Quran. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين يا رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
Just switch the mic off.